Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening again. This is the Apostle, and we are at the Biblical Study part of the Now Ministry. And that's why I call it Now N-O-W Ministry. Let us pray. Almighty Everlasting Creator, we come to you saying thank you. Give you thanks and give you praise, Yahweh, for the way that you have placed in the earth all that we will ever need, and how you place your word in our spirit, and how you place through your beloved Son, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truths. And let us open our hearts now, mind, to hear what the Word has to say to us as we apply it to our everyday living. I was listening to soft music. Music has a way of calming the spirit, has a way of calming us and open our mind so that we can be one with the spirit. And tonight, our topic, and normally I don't choose a topic, but because of what is happening in the world right now, in the Now N-O-W, the topic is the world beyond the world. The world beyond the world. And as we take a moment to reflect on that, say, well, what are you talking about? The world beyond the world. How can you have a world beyond the world? And if so, how do they communicate? What is it? And what is in it for us? Now, as I take the scripture and read the scripture, I want you to think about it. The scripture as comes is Matthew 11:28-30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And I'll be reading from the NIV. And I will pause occasionally. And remember one thing. When this was written, the original text, there was no chapter and verse. There was no punctuation. It was just one complete sentence that went on and on. And you have to accept the man is the one who put these commas in it and periods and exclamation points, and they broke it down into different verses. And tonight, sometime we may stop, and as we read it, and put our own punctuation in it, if that makes it clear to us. Now, this is Jesus talking. And if we look at what's happening around us, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the wars, the bombing, the threats of nuclear war, and the flooding, and the heat, how it was so hot in Europe. It was the hottest, I think it was probably the hottest time on record in Europe. Now, I want us to really, really, when we read the scripture and you hear it and read it for yourself, I want you to listen and see what the Spirit is saying to you. You may even want to punctuate it differently based on how the Spirit is leading you. And whenever we think about the Now, N-O-W, we are here on this earth, and the divine spirit, the creator, he created the heaven for himself and the earth for the children of men. and that's in songs. I'm a little dyslexic. I should have written it down. I think it's Psalm 115, verse 18, where that is. If it's not 115, I'm sure it's 115. That's where God made it clear to the psalmist that heaven is his and the earth is for the children of men. So let us take a look at this scripture and see how it applies to us while we're here on this earth. See what authority, what power is in the scripture, and to help us deal with what. Now, I'm going to read it slow. Now, I want you to read it as well. Come. Come. I just put a comma there. Come. Come means somebody is reaching out and giving you a command or an invitation to come. And then it says, come where? To me. Who's me? Me is the Creator Son, the beloved Son of what the Word says. So we have established an authority here. Come to me. And now we go, all you. He says all. He didn't say some. He didn't say the white people. He didn't say the poor people. He didn't say the brown people or the yellow people or the black people. It says all, A-L-L. You know, when we read scripture, we need to take our time and not rush through it and see what the word says, because words has power. Words has authority. Words have meaning that goes beyond that which is written on that page. All you who are what? And he's we can stop there. All come to me, all you who what? Are weary and burdened. So he spells it out to us so that we are clear why we're coming to him. It's not to come and just sit with him or come and have a good time. He said, all who are weary and burdened. What does that mean? So, you know, whenever you read it, now what does weary mean? Would you think that those people who just have been victim of the hurricane? Do you think those who are over in Russia and those who are in Ukraine? Do you think that applies to them? Do you think it applies to you? It says if you're weary about something, and he lays out two things. You're weary or that you are burdened down by something. Burden means something that is holding you back from being all that you could be, all that you've been created to be. And it goes on. What does he say? He said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Why? What's the purpose of going to him? Why should you go to him? You're burdened down. You looked around, your five senses done told you that God don't love me no more. And here the beloved Son is telling you to come to him. So now he's going to tell you what the benefits are for you coming to him. He said, personal pronoun, I will give you rest. He didn't say we. He said, I will give you rest. Now, whenever you go back and look at that, come, people who are weary, burdened, and you will get rest. But first you have to know who Jesus is. You have to know. You cannot go to somebody that you don't know. Somebody you don't know say, come to me. And what you going to do? You don't go the other way. So first step is that we have to find out who this Jesus is and whose he is and what he has to offer us. Whenever we go through that and we see that he's the beloved son of the creator, what does that say about authority? That says that the creator has the authority, and the creator, this is his beloved son in whom he's well pleased. So the authority got transferred, as we call it, delegated. God delegated the authority to the Son. The Father delegates the authority to the Son. The Mother delegates the authority to the daughter. We have to look at this and just break it down and see what it says. So now Jesus has the authority, been given the authority to give us rest. So if I'm weary and burdened down and to him, and he gives me rest, as opposed to my going to the pub and getting some distilled spirits, yeah, read the bottle, read that label on that bottle. It calls it distilled spirits. And you're already a spiritual being, so why you need to go out and get a liquid substance and drink it? Because it says to reach some state of euphoria or high, or to forget your burdens, forget the things that you weary of. Whenever the word here says you don't have to do that, because you wake up in the morning, you got a headache, you got a hangover, you sick on the stomach. I mean, all of those are side effects, which is not nice, not good, not something that you want to keep experiencing. And okay, let's go on. Then it said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Those of you who are listening, a yoke is, I grew up in the country on a farm, and we would take two animals and put them together. And then what happened? Two animals could pull more than one animal. Two animals, they shared that weight, the same weight, where one animal is pulling and straining. And the yoke is a collar. We call them collars, a yoke put over the whole people together and to share that burden, share the load. He says, take my yoke upon you. And what did he say? Oh, no, I have the yoke, but ain't nothing happening, ain't nothing. And but what must we do once we get take the yoke? We must learn from him. He said, learn from me. How did he handle those situations? How did he handle those circumstances? What did he do that we could do, because we learned how to do it from him? And it goes on. He says, now he tells us, he describes himself. He says, I am gentle and humble in heart. So what is he saying? You're going to learn. You're going to learn that he's a gentle person. You're going to learn that he's a humble person. And if you go to Michael chapter 6, verse 8, where the prophet, minor prophet, told the people that what God has said, that he only asked them to do three things. One, be just in all of their doings, in all their dealings, in all their relationships. And show mercy. And be and walk humbly with me. I'm just all perfect. Walk humbly with your God. So Jesus basically saying the same thing. If you're gentle, that means you're honest, that means you are just, that means you're merciful, and you're humble. But where did he say it is now? See, when the prophet said it, it was where? External. It was written. It was on the tablet or whatever form that they used back then. Or it was passed along by word of mouth. But now, it is where? In your heart. It's internal. You have eternalized that which was external. And where are you going to find that rest? He says, and you will find rest for your souls. Think about it. He backs up, but we back up. He said, come, you're weary, you're burdened, and he will give you rest. Now, what does he say down here? For I am gentle and humble in heart. And where are you going to find the rest? And you will find rest for your souls. Think about it. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you as a result of you either reading or hearing the reading? And then it goes on, the last verse, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's already reached out to us. We have to get in the Word. We have to read the Word for ourselves and not depend on somebody's interpretation. Got to read it. What is it saying? Remember, I said the topic is the world beyond the world. Now, if we don't understand that there is something spiritually going on here, we're going to continue to look at things through the natural. We're going to continue to expect something outside of us to do what we already have inside. And he made that clear. It's in his heart. Well, if it's in his heart, that means you need to internalize it in your heart. And remember now, and what we call the Old Testament, and I accept it because that's what man said, but the New Testament doesn't begin where man says it is because it goes against man logic. Jesus is still alive. A testament only starts once you're dead. Think about it. So I look at the Bible as one continuous story where God is showing how he has not showing his authority over his creation. And the authority, what did he call himself? But whenever we go back, we talked about this the other week. when you go back and look at the Hebrew Israelites understanding of the Creator, it was Yahweh, it was Elohim, and Elohim is a plural word, it's a plural noun. However, they only use it as a single. And if you look at it from the standpoint of their understanding of their Creator, there is no single word that can contain the essence of the Creator. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He spoke and things happened. Everything was null and void, and he spoke life into it. He created angels. He created humans. He created animals. And he even allowed Adam to name, to participate in creation by naming the animals. And Adam still blew it because he defied authority. Authority. Whenever he chose, and God, the Creator, told him what he should do or what he should not do. But yet he believed the one that was in heaven that was cast out, he chose to believe what he said about what God, what the Creator said. Think about it. What do we do today? The point I'm making is that we prefer to listen to what somebody's interpretation is as opposed to reading the word for ourselves and sitting with that word and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And excuse me, I venture to say that the people who are going through what they're going through, and let's just narrow it down to grieving. They're grieving. Why? They're grieving a loss because they lost something. And because they lost it, they are stressed. They're traumatized. So the world beyond the world is where the Creator is. And the Creator has sent his beloved Son to reconcile us back to him. And the Creator is a spirit, not a human. I don't care how many statues you see, or how many pages they write about him. Think about it. Now, whenever I looked at their understanding, those names was never, there were no idols called by those names. But there is an idol, plenty of idols that we call God. And there's a transition that has taken place. And just Google it and look at the different names for God, the Hebrew names, because it was Hebrew first. But now, those persons that are struggling with their homes are gone, their automobiles are gone, even their motorhomes are gone. Because some of those areas that they're talking about that's underwater now, some of those RV places, those vehicles that was in there was multi-million dollar vehicles. Now, if they didn't drive out, they're lost. Those material things are gone. And those things are the what having those negative impacts, which is causing the stress and the trauma.
Here's an answer from MedicineNet.com.
Sorry about that, y'all. That was my iPhone trying to talk to me. Now, it is, normally we have 30 minutes and then we have 15 questions and answers or comments. What do you think about this world beyond the world and how it applies to the hurricane and then where those people lost everything? Some people lost everything. How do you see it over in Russia, because it's having an impact on Russia and Ukraine, and how that one man is threatened to have a nuclear war? I just want you to think about things. Think about things in the spirit realm and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And remember, read it for yourself and sit with it. Take time to sit with it once you read it. And don't come to the text already knowing everything. When I go to the text, I know nothing. I see the words on the page, but I allow the power and authority that's in those words, and we used to say that's behind those words. What's behind those words is the truth, and it's the true meaning. And as I read it, I broke them all down. And sometimes I have to go and get the dictionary or Google it. And most of the time, I have to go back to the Hebrew to find out what does this mean, as opposed to, because the original was written in Hebrew, the beginning was into the Hebrew Israelites and Aramaic and Hebrew. And then when I look back and we all talk about Father Abraham, he wasn't no Christian. He didn't know anything about Christianity. And we have people that's telling us now, well, that was taught, that was Jesus. But I want you to read it for yourself and see if that's the conclusion that you arrive at. And if it's not, see what the Holy Spirit is saying. And if the Holy Spirit convicts you, don't try to hold on. I know when it used to convict me, I would try to hold on to what I was told. But I started reading it for myself. And I came up with an altogether different understanding. And I was able to release that power and authority into the situation and circumstances that I was confronted with. Questions or comments? Well, if there's no questions, there's no comments, we will be back next Friday at 8:30. And I used to try to do a topic, a series, but I'm finding lately in the last year, it is hard to do a series if we're dealing with the now. Because the situation and circumstances are so fluid now, it's changing. And if you look at, okay, what I mean by it's changing, what is happening now? What is Putin doing? He's annexing part of Ukraine. And he apologized for the draft that he created because he needed more soldiers. There was no draft for the military. So, as things change, we should go back to that scripture, Isaiah 43:18-19. God told us, don't dwell on former things. That's gone. We can't bring that back. You can look back at it, but you can't bring it back. It's finished. Jesus said it was finished. That stuff that he left behind was finished. So God said, don't dwell on those things. Because why? He made it clear. He's doing an old thing a new way. And he didn't stop there. He said, do you not perceive it? He spoke directly to us through his word. So that is why it's hard to do a series because people are at different places in their relationship with God and in their relationship with life. And we cannot be so dogmatic about what we believe, because what we believe is fluid. Not that the word changes, because it doesn't. But it's amazing, something that I can't explain. Nobody's been able to explain it to me. How you can read a scripture today and come up with a meaning. And you can read a scripture tonight, and it will mean something different. Things do not remain the same, but yet doesn't really change. And that's why in Ecclesiastes they say that there's nothing new under the sun. So it sounds like being contradictory, but we're not. The word doesn't contradict itself. The world realizes that nothing remains the same. But the word can be applied to situations, circumstances that happened 5,000 years ago. And that same word can be applied today, 5,000 years later. It's not changed. So, saying all that, say that I'm not sure what the Holy Spirit is going to lead me to deal with next week, next Friday. But hopefully it's something that will bring some comfort to the listeners. And I want to thank you who called in and those who are listening via computers, wherever you are in this earth. This is the Now Ministry, and I trust that you will read the word for yourself. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And see what does it say about where you are now in your life and in your relationship. And shalom, shalom.